My name is Kevin Salinas. We're going to be talking about emotions this morning. Are you excited or what? Yeah. We've been on this series called Targets, where the body of Christ is under attack and how we fight back. And today we're talking about emotions, how fear and stress can burn out believers. I chose this topic. I don't know why. Once I got into it, I was like, what am I doing? I don't know if I want to do this, but this is good. I got some really cool insight. I got some really exciting stuff going on, learning about emotions. Okay, who in this room has emotions? Yes, if you're willing to admit it. Who in this room has healthy emotions? Yeah, that's a different story. That's what we're going to talk about today. Who in this room doesn't even care? I'm a changed man. I used to not have emotions. That's why I want to talk about this, because I used to struggle with emotions because I didn't know what to do with my emotions. And a lot of people don't know what to do with their emotions, right? Emotions are kind of like kids. You got to take them everywhere you go. You can't put them in the trunk of the car, but you can't let them drive the car either. That is good. I like that one. They got to go with you, though. Emotions are kind of like a check engine light, right? Check engine light comes on in your car. There's something wrong. There's a problem. You can't take your car to the mechanic and say, hey, can you just turn this light off, and then I'll be on my way, right? The light's there for a reason because there's something wrong, and until you fix that problem, then the light won't go off, right? So emotions sometimes come up. We have to, and it's a warning sign to tell us, hello, something's up. Not necessarily something wrong in this case, but sometimes they're good things. But if it's on your car, it's usually a bad thing. This young lady that passed away over here in Kelso got shot a while back. That was Nina's cousin. And that was a really emotional thing for us to go through as a family. It was weird because my emotions were all over the place. It was like instantly I was sad and upset, and then I saw the guy and I was like angry and mad and I wanted to punch him in the face, you know? And then my heart would change and I'd be like, but this guy doesn't know Jesus, and so I'd have compassion on the guy. But then I would think about poor Kayla and how her family is suffering right now, and I'd go, that guy is a bad dude. I don't want compassion on him at all. So my emotions were like, so when we go through a situation like that, where our emotions go through this vortex, I saw a vortex this morning. There was this vortex of emotions going on. And I thought about Jesus when he was in the boat and he was like, the storm was going all around us, and he stood up and he said, quiet, be still. And the vortex stopped. That's what he can do with our emotions. He can help us get those things under control, right? Amen. So there's a generation of people that we call, or a group of people that we may know as them as emos, right? Have you heard that? Somebody called an emo? Like, I'm emo, or emo, right? So check this out. Emo is actually short for emotional. Did you know that? It's a style of rock music resembling punk, but having more complex arrangements and lyrics that deal with more emotional subjects. So we have a generation of young people who actually are expressing their emotions now, right? Because they grew up and watched people deny their emotions. And so now they want to say, you know what, I'm going to express my emotions, but sometimes it comes out in an unhealthy way, right? But they don't know what to do with their emotions either, but at least they're expressing it through music, through dress, through style, right? Emotions are very important. So, but at least they're addressing their emotions. Some people hide them. Some people wear them on their sleeve. My wife, on the other hand, she likes to share her emotions very openly. It's a blessing. Believe me, it's a blessing. A while back, we were in church here, and every Sunday, she says, when I leave the house, she says, hey, save me a seat, because I leave before her. And, you know, I remember most of the time, and I don't know, I just forgot one morning, and I was up in the sound booth, and she shows up, and she was a little late, because I can justify that. She gets the kids ready, so she's a little running behind every Sunday almost. But today she was here early, and I was like, why are you here early? I said, it just worked out today. I have permission to share this. Don't worry. I asked her. So she comes walking across the room, and I think Don was up there with me. And she looks at me, and she said, I am so mad at you. You did not save me a seat. I mean, she was emotional. And she let me have it, man, and I was just like, "Rrr." You know what I did? I just shoved it all down. I didn't respond. I shoved it all down. So check this out. This is funny. So I think it was the next week or 2 weeks later or something. We go to the renewal over here. You know, we met over renewal. So I'm just being vulnerable here. So we go in the room. And it's me and her, and it's a different place. I'm not doing anything this time, so I can just chill out. So she's talking to some people, and I'm just kind of standing there, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to go save some seats, because I'm really bad about not saving seats. So I'm just going to, she's going to really love this. She's going to be so excited when I save her a seat. So I leave her, and I go save her a seat. I get a text message about 5 minutes later. Where the heck are you? Why did you ditch me? I'm saving you a seat. Remember when I didn't save you a seat and you got mad at me? Now I'm saving you a seat. You should be proud of me. I was doing a good thing here. I'm so mad at you. I'm leaving. I'll be in the car. She did. She really did. True story. And I'm like, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. You know what I'm saying? We put on our happy face because we don't. Okay, but she did come back in, and she sat about a couple of chairs away from me, but I said, can you please? So our emotions are just, I mean, they just are all the time. You can't get away from them, right? And she let me tell that story because I thought it would make me look good, but did it work? Did I look good in that story? Oh, I tried to do the right thing. I tried to do the right thing. My emotions. God wants to get a hold of our emotions. God created humans with emotions. We all have them, but we don't know what to do with them. There's different views on emotion and how people, different groups see them. Like the Eastern spirituality, like Buddhists, they detach from their emotions, right? They do the Jedi mind thing. They empty their mind, right? They detach. They just don't deal with them. They get rid of them. Western spirituality, like Christianity, we say that we are told to overcome our emotions by telling them to take a hike. You know, I don't want to have to deal with this. Get out of here. But unfortunately, usually that just leads to us faking it. Yeah. Right? Like I said, when I try to just push it all down, now I'm just faking it. Hey, Jesus loves me. And I'm all happy, but really there's just all this stuff inside of me, right? This turmoil. Because my wife yelled at me. Okay, so secularism says suffering is real, so be it, just deal with it, right? They're just like, let's just deal with it. Stop being a baby, suck it up, buttercup, just deal with it. So they try to escape from their emotions through distractions, sometimes drugs, alcohol, Netflix, glass of wine, too many, you know what I mean? So they say, I had a rough day, I'm just going to go check out. And they just use things to try to distract from their emotions. But then the next day when they wake up, they're still there. Shopping. Things like that. Sometimes, some people use shopping as an escape. Some people. So the common thread to all these things, the thing that connects them all together, there's a common thread here. Through all these things, they all run away from their emotions, right? because they don't know how to deal with their emotions. So in all these situations he explained to you is like they would run, we run away from our emotions. So you following? Man, this thing is gonna fight me, isn't it? Stay. Okay, so check it out. So in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, it says that the Lord God formed man of dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted in the garden eastward of Eden, and there he put the man who he had formed. I highlighted these things here because you see that what's going on here was you see man, right? And man is Adam or Adam, right? So God formed a man out of dust, a body, right? He breathed the breath of life into him, which is the spirit, which is Ruach, the spirit. And he became a living soul, which is Nefesh in Hebrew, or a creature. So he's a body, spirit, soul at this time, right? And he placed him in a place called Eden, which is also known as delight or pleasure, a place of perfect peace, a place of perfect shalom, where everything was in perfection. Everything was complete. His body, spirit, soul, in a place of perfect peace. That's how God created man. Isn't that cool? So, I got a little thing here. So check this out. Here's another picture of our body, soul, spirit. This is how we sit. This is what it says. That our body has our senses. Our soul is our mind, will, emotion. And then our spirit is where our human spirit is. But then when we receive Christ, that's where Holy Spirit comes in to live inside of us. So our soul is what gives us our personality. And through our soul, we live out relationships with God and the other people in our and with ourself and with ourself. Our soul likely has three major parts, mind, will, and emotion. It's also where we have our feelings, our emotions, and retain our memories. Our will is what gives us the ability to make the choices. Through a very complex way, our mind, our will, and our emotion are connected to the body through a nervous and immune system. So, you following here? Our emotions are in our soul, right? God created this body, spirit, soul. So this is a quote I found out of Priscilla Shire's book, Discerning the Voice of God. Yes, I know it was the ladies' Bible study, but Nina brought it up to me, and I thought this is really cool, so I'm going to read this to you. She says this. She says, every human being has a spirit. In it is the core and inmost essence of a person. The human spirit was designed for relationship with God. If not divinely connected to him in this way, we are left with a vacuum that can never be properly, completely filled. So something happens. So when we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit moves in and fills up our human spirit. His influence to our spirit begins to spill out onto our soul, not only awakening it from spiritual slumber, but also conforming it into the image of Jesus Christ. Yeah? When we become a Christian, His Spirit comes in and starts to take every area of our life, including our emotions. Yes. We're getting somewhere. We're on track in here. Yeehaw. Don't worry, I got 8 pages of notes. We can do this in 30 minutes. So, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old way has passed away. Behold, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, beloved, I pray that that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. That's 3 John 2:2. He says, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. What does a prosperous soul look like? I want to know. Are we rich in our soul? Are we healthy on the inside? I think that's the question. When John writes, you may prosper in these things, in your health and in your soul may prosper as well. He says, is your soul healthy on the inside? Because it doesn't matter what's on the outside, it's what's on the inside. Are your emotions healthy? Is your soul healthy on the inside? Because that's how you prosper. Are you rich and wealthy on the inside? Because you can have all the money in the world, but it means nothing if you're not healthy on the inside. Does God have emotions? He does, doesn't he? The Stoics didn't believe so. Their Stoicism, back in the day, they worshipped gods who did not have emotions. They felt and believed that a quality of a person who accepts what happens without complaining or showing emotion. So their teachings were, you don't show emotion at all. They're emotionless. So when the Yahweh God had emotion, they were shocked. They didn't want nothing to do with that God. But the cool thing is, when we look into the scriptures, we see, like in Genesis, for example, Genesis 6:6 says this, and the Lord regretted that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So in Genesis, the very beginning of the book, we see God grieving. We know this is a God with emotion. We know that God gets angry. It says so in Psalms 106:40. We know that God loves. For example, John 3:16, God so loved the world, right? We know that God hates. That's a tough one, but it's in the Bible. Psalms 5:5, Proverbs 6:19 are just a few. God has compassion. God expresses joy, and God rejoices. These are emotions. These are healthy emotions, some of them. Here's just as joy. This is sadness, surprised, mad, disgust. Can you see this little thing here? Oh, it's little emotions. Have you seen this movie? It's called Inside Out. With the little emotions. Oh, Nina made me watch it. I'd never seen it, and I had to watch it, and she's like, you're going to love this, so I used some of it. So, emotions. So God absolutely has emotions. I can say that. I'm confident in that because the Bible shows us that God has emotions. Jesus was a man who walked on the earth with many emotions himself too. When Lazarus died, what did he do? He wept. We get to see him weeping. Lazarus was his friend, and he wept. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was sorrowful and troubled. He said, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done. So Jesus' soul was troubled. His emotions were troubled. But he didn't empty his mind, do some yoga, and veg out on Netflix. No, he didn't. They didn't have Netflix back then, so he couldn't have done that. Just in case you didn't know. No, he didn't. So what did he do is he confronted his emotions. He said, your will be done. Right? That's what he said. He confronted the emotions instead of running away from his emotions. He said, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. So he pushed through and he confronted his emotions. He addressed the situation. In Mark 6:34, we see him showing compassion. He was teaching all day, got tired, got on a boat, went to the other side. But by the time they got to the side, the crowds were already gathered over there because they just ran around to the other side. And instead of saying, you know what, guys, I'm just going to call it quits for the day. I'm so tired and exhausted. Because he's, a man, and he probably would have been. He probably put in his 8 hours for the day. He was going to clock out and no more for today. But he didn't do that. He had compassion on them, the crowds, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So we see Jesus showing compassion. We see Jesus weeping. We also see Jesus full of joy in Luke 10. We see Jesus distressed in Luke 12. We see in John 2, we see Jesus get angry, don't we? When he goes into the temple, and he says, this place you turned into a marketplace, this temple. This is my Father's house. And he gets angry, and he starts making a whip, and he goes around, and he turns over tables, right? So he shows anger, righteous anger, rage and passion for his Father's house, didn't he? So, yeah, we are created with emotions because we are created in the image of God. God has emotions. Jesus showed us emotions. Emotions are very important to the Christian life. So what do you think is going to happen? If our emotions are so important to being a Christian and who we are and our makeup, what do you think the enemy is going to do? That darn enemy, he's prowling around like a lion. He's ready to take away everything that we have that's joyful, right? He wants to distort our emotions. He wants to lie. He wants to deceit. He wants to accuse us of things that aren't true. Because that's who he is. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's a liar. So he comes at us with attacks because we have a target on our chest. And the book that Jeff's been referring to lately, The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, took a little thing out of here where Screwtape is actually telling Wormwood to go after their emotions. I'm just going to read it to you. So it says, Screwtape tells Wormwood that if he expects any success, he has to convince the human that his emotions are to be his master. Screwtape says, through his feelings, you can persuade him to deny reality rather than trust God's word as an objective fact. Rely on your emotions. Do you feel loved? Wormwood is urged at all costs to get the human to rely on his feelings. Ooh, don't we struggle with that one? We don't want to struggle with that, but we do. So, that's an interesting book if you ever get a hold of it. Jeff's explained it a few times, but it's a real eye opener about what the enemy's schemes and plans are for our lives. But we don't have to worry about it. Right, because we have more power than he does, and we can overcome these things. So fear and stress are burning out believers today in the church. Do you believe that? So what is fear? Fear is an unpleasant, often a strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger, or to be afraid. Most of our sins are rooted in fear. For example, a fear of not being good enough can manifest in the need for recognition, thus igniting pride and advancement in our heart. Or the fear of not being accepted can create a desire to please people. Fear is ugly. Whatever your struggle, there's a connection to a deep-seated fear. And with fear, it can become an obstacle in your life. Yes. So that's one of the enemy's tactics, is to come after us with fear. Fear is a hindrance to the enjoyment of life. When you allow fear and anxiety to take shape into your life, you're allowing someone, something to hinder the fullness of your life. It'll paralyze you, immobilize you, cause you to question moving forward. I've been there many times. I've struggled with fear many times in my life. It's been one of my biggest things, but I've overcome it many times as well. I'm not afraid to admit that one. Fear is a tough one. Stress. Stress is a physical or chemical emotion factor that causes bodily or mental tension and may be a factor in disease. There's many studies that show that health problems related to stress seem to be worsened and are increased by the risk of these conditions like obesity, heart disease, Alzheimer's, diabetes, depression, gastrointestinal problems, and asthma. These are just some of the things that stress can do to our bodies physically, just from stress itself. Are you stressed out yet? Good. Don't be stressed. So stress doesn't make us feel, stress doesn't only make us feel awful emotionally, it also can cause us to, I already read that. Okay. We can love Jesus, be a Christian, but we can also be passive aggressive and grouchy with him and be by being emotionally immature. We can love Jesus, but we can be grouchy, passive aggressive, and emotionally immature. Oh, yeah. You guys are quiet out there. Okay? Don't worry, we're going somewhere. Have I captured the emotion in the room yet? Captured it? Okay. So, check this out, okay. We can learn how to express our emotions in a healthy way instead of running away from them or pushing them down or making excuses for our embarrassing actions. We can be emotionally healthy. Amen. We're turning the page. We're getting off that one. Emotions can bring to surface what's in our heart, right? In Matthew 15:18, it says, "But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person," right? Emotions can bring to surface what's in our hearts. And we'll see it come out. Like when I get mad and start yelling at the dog because he pooped on the floor. There's a lot of rage in there because I'm like, I don't want poop on my floor. I hate poop on the floor. Okay. Okay. Nobody else does that? Gets angry at dogs pooping on the floor? Okay, it comes out of the heart, right? It's like a little bit. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay, here we go. Are you sarcastic, critical, or thick-skinned? You say you don't care about what people think. Sometimes that's not good. These can be signs that we have shut down our healthy emotions. Our soul has been wounded, and sarcasm can be a form of bullying, and it can damage another person's emotions. Ooh. Oftentimes we've been wounded by somebody and it comes out in an unhealthy way. So I'm going to show you a little video clip here. Don't want to get a little bit of sound. This is from this movie. I'll probably get sued for it. But don't worry, I don't have any money that they could take, so we're good to go there. So we have disgust up there is the which one? The green one, right? The purple is fear. The red is anger. The purple, this other guy, I don't think he's in that one, no. Sadness is blue, and yellow is joy. And so what's going on here is we have a family at a dinner table, and we get to see all the emotions going on in each one of their heads. So check this out. This is cool.
So, how was the first day of school?
She's probing us.
I'm done. You pretend to be Joy.
What? Okay.
It was fine, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, very smooth. That was just like Joy.
Something is definitely going on.
She's never acted like this before. What should we do? We're going to find out what's happening, but we'll need support. Signal the husband.
Ahem.
With a nice pass over to Reed, comes across that right.
Ahem.
Uh-oh, she's looking at us. What did she say?
What? Oh, sorry, sir. No one was listening.
Is it garbage night? We left the toilet seat up. What? What is it, woman? What?
He's making that stupid face again.
I could strangle him right now!
Signal him again.
Ah, so, Riley, how was school?
Seriously?
Are you kidding me?
For this, we gave up that Brazilian helicopter pilot?
Boo! I'll be Joy.
School was great, all right?
Riley, is everything okay?
Sir, she just rolled her eyes at us.
What is her deal?
All right, make a show of force. I don't want to have to put the foot down.
No, not the foot.
Riley, I do not like this new attitude.
Oh, I'll show you attitude, okay?
No. Stay happy!
What is your problem? Just leave me alone.
Sir, reporting high levels of sass.
Take it to DEFCON 2.
You heard that, gentlemen. DEFCON 2.
Listen, young lady, I don't know where this disrespectful attitude came from.
You want a piece of this, Pops?
Well,
here it comes.
prepare the foot.
Keys to safety position. Ready to launch on your command, sir.
Just shut up!
Fire!
That's it. Go to your room. Now.
Foot is down. The foot is down.
Woo!
Good job, gentlemen. That could have been a disaster.
Well, that was a disaster.
That was good. Good. That's a beautiful picture of what goes on in our brains. And that's one kid. I got four at home. Yeah, I don't know what it's like at our dinner table. There's all kinds of emotions flying at our dinner table. That's really cool. That movie, just really shows the emotions. I would suggest watching it. It's our sponsor for today. So, joking sponsor today. So pain is real, but Jesus says, he says this. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Right? That's Jesus. He says that. And in Ezekiel 36:26, it says this. It says, "I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." Oh, that's beautiful, isn't it? Oh, I will give you a new heart, a new spirit, remove your old stony heart and give you the heart of flesh. Ooh, that's beautiful. God is so good. We can't do everything ourselves. We live in a DIY world today, right? Do it yourself. But we can't do this on our own. We need each other. We need family. We need God, right? If we want to have healthy emotions, we got to do this thing together. We need each other. That family is arguing, but they need each other to have healthy emotions. And if you watch the whole movie, it's pretty crazy. I can't give it away. No spoilers. The emotions are battling over each other. It's pretty crazy because, every emotion is important, you know, so it's really important that they're all. Joy thought she could run the show, but I'll stop now. You got to watch it. So when my kids were very small, I used to carry them around, like on my shoulders or my back, right? I'm sure if you have kids, you've done that. So they would hold on to me like super tight, you know. They'd like grab on to me like just squeezing so hard, and like sometimes around the neck, you're like, I can't breathe, you know. And they're like piggyback ride, right? But they're squeezing onto me so hard when I'm carrying them around. But the funny thing is I was holding on to them even tighter. Yeah, that's what the Father is doing. He says, "You're holding on to me tight, thinking if you let go, you're gonna fall. But don't worry, because I'm holding on to you tighter then you are holding on to me. So fear not, my child." Yeah? Fear not. Don't worry about it. Don't stress out about the things that cause our emotions to go whacked out, because we can trust in the good Father who's holding on to us. Amen. Have you ever raised a teenager? Ooh, man. They are something else, aren't they? Oh, yeah. So teenagers, if you've ever raised a teenager, you get what I'm saying when I'm talking about emotions, because there's all kinds of things going on there, right? I mean, we see it all. And if you can survive that, right? High five you, man, if you've raised and survived a teenager. Yeah. Soon. Very soon. It's wonderful. I tell you, it's just the best time of their life. It's so great. That's me faking it. It's great. No, there are times. I love my sons. They're great. They're great. I love hanging out with them, especially when they tell you you're not cool, and that really hurts. Hurts bad, but you get over it. So let's look at. I want to show you something really cool here. I want to show you something. So there's this parable that Jesus tells. He's gathered, all these guys gather around, they're like the Pharisees and the sinners and the tax collectors, and they're mocking him, making fun of him because he eats with sinners and all this stuff, right? So he tells them a couple parables about the lost coin and the lost son and the lost sheep. And I want to look at this parable here this morning. This is called the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son. I want to show you something. I want to show you that this is not just a lost son. It's lost sons because they're both lost. And I want to show you why. So check this out. This is cool. I'm excited about that. This is my list of emotions. Yeah. I'm feeling pretty silly right now. And motivated. Okay, so. Why are you laughing? Okay. Don't be ashamed of you. Don't be ashamed to be yourself. Don't hesitate or worry about it. I'm a little suspicious right now, though. Okay, so, yeah. I'm going to look at, if you got a Bible and you want to open, you can look into this as well. This is cool. I'm just going to read this big chunk here. But this is the story of them. So this rich guy has two sons, right? And the older son says, "Hey, I want my money. I want my share because I want it now." So basically what he's saying, "Father, I would wish you're better off dead because I just want my inheritance now." So he takes the inheritance and he runs off far away, probably to California, because that's a good place to run off to. That's where people go. Oh, no offense. Okay, they go to New York City. That's where they go. They go to New York City and he squandered all of his money away on prostitutes and gambling and probably went to the few football games and hung out with them, bad places and casinos, and he blew it all and he made a mistake and he ended up in the pig trough, and you know the story, you've heard it all, including on his Sunday school. And he's like, "I gotta go home and apologize to my father because at least my servants get, you know, better than what I'm getting here." And so he makes up this story, you know, he's gonna go home, he's gonna tell his father that he's not worthy to be called his son. First mistake right there. He said, "I'm not worthy to be called your son." So he went home and he says, picking up in verse 20, yeah. "So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against you from both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But his father said to the servant, 'Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get the ring on his finger and his sandals for his feet, and kill the calf. We have been fattening. We must celebrate a feast, for this son of mine.'" Hold on, turn the page. "The son of mine was dead. Now he's returned to life, and he was lost, but now he's found." Verse 25, "Meanwhile, the older son's was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house, and he asked one of the servants what was going on. 'Your brother is back,' he was told, 'and the father had killed the fattened calf. We were celebrating because of his safe return. Verse 28, "The older brother was angry. He was very angry, and he wouldn't even go in the house. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, 'All these years I have slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And in all that time, you never even gave me one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money in prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fatted calf.' His father said to him, 'Look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he was found.'" This is a beautiful story. And you're probably wondering, what in the world does this have to do with emotions? Here we go. You ready? It's going to come together right here. First of all, we see a picture of a family, which is really cool because Jesus paints this picture. He's telling a parable, right? So it's not a true story, but he's telling a parable. He's telling them that there's a family. There's a father. There's sons, right? And this is a whole new idea for the Pharisees and tax collectors. And they're like, relating God as a father was like kind of weird to them, right? So we see the younger son, and he says, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. That's what he said to the father. He said, I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore. Remember, he's talking to the tax collectors, the Pharisees. So the father does what? The father doesn't even let him finish telling him his repentance story. And the father has compassion on him. And he says, go run quickly, get the robe and the ring and the sandals and put it on him. Because what that does, it puts him back in the family immediately. When he puts that ring on, right? It says, I am a son of whoever. And the robe shows that he's wearing the robe, that he's accepted back into the family immediately when he comes back. The father shows compassion on the son, right? The son feels not worthy to be a son. See the emotions? The father shows him that he is worthy. He puts him in his position of sonship, not because of his performance, but because of who he is. He is a son. He didn't earn it. He didn't deserve it. He is his son. Like we are the sons and daughters of the living God. That is our position. It says in Romans 6:18, I am no longer a slave to sin, but I am a slave to righteousness. I am a child of God, right? Do you agree? So we're God's children. We are his son. We are worthy because we are his son, not because of our performance, but our position. So what happens now? So let's look at the older brother. Okay, so the older brother, what does he do? He gets angry. He's furious, but he's out in the fields and he's working really, really hard at being a good son because he's working at it. Following here? He's working. He's performing for the father because he wants to be the good son. He gets angry because his younger son gets something that he wants. But the younger son made a mistake. He said, if anybody deserves a party, it's me because I'm the good son because I've been performing for you all these years. Oh, man. So there's emotions on both sides. They're both unhealthy in their emotions. They're both wrestling with all kinds of emotions. Pride, arrogance comes up, right? Right? The other son, rebellion, right? Sin, prostitutes, right? Guilt, shame, all these things. So the father looks at the son and he says, you have always stayed by me. Everything I have is yours. You were already in the position, but you were living out a performance instead of your position as a son. You had it all, but you were trying so hard, you didn't even see it. You have what your older brother has, but you were working for it. You were trying to earn it. You cared what people thought, right? So we see older son struggling emotions, younger son emotion. So we're going to have a party because of his position, not because of his performance. That's why we're partying today. Yeah? Because he's a son. Not because he did anything great, because he's a son. Not because he had to work for it or earn it. I put the ring on him because he's my son. He deserves it. The younger son, that we don't even ever see him going into the house and partying with him. The story stops. He says we're partying because he once was dead and now he's found. He once was lost. He once was dead, now he's alive. He once was lost, but now he's found, right? It doesn't make sense to the younger brother because he has a performance mindset. He doesn't understand why the father would want to have a party because he's still living in a performance. So we see two brothers that are emotionally a wreck. Their emotions got a hold of their lives and started controlling what they did and who they are. Their identity became who they, what they were doing and not who they were, are as a son. Their identity became in their performance. Our emotions can be affected by our performance. If we look at something or someone to get our self-worth from, then we empower that thing or person to take our self-worth. Is that right? So if you're getting your self-worth from your job and you lose your job, now you're depressed because there's your self-worth. But if you get your self-worth from the God and understand that your father is the king and you have access to everything and you can be healthy in every area of your life and you're not living by fear, stress, and anxiety, letting you control you, you let the Father in. You let the Holy Spirit consume you, overtake you, possess you, regenerate you into a new creation, a new being. And every area of our lives can be transformed, including our emotions. Woo! So sometimes we stand, like I can stand up here, and this is really easy to do, and I can start looking around. I can be like, Jessica's like looking at me like, that dude is weird. He's got some problems. And I start putting all these things in my head, and I start thinking that Jessica's thinking bad things about me. You know, or I'm looking over here at Dan, I'm thinking Dan's like saying, gosh, Kevin, can you put the mic down? You know? And those things, those thoughts start going through my head, right? I'm thinking all these negative thoughts about what people are thinking about me. I make stuff up in my head that aren't true. My emotions start to get messed up. I start getting fear again, right? My confidence kind of goes away because I'm like, these people are thinking this and thinking that, and it's all these negative thoughts and they're coming in my head. So we can counter that. Why do we always think that people are thinking bad about us? If we're going to make stuff up about what people are thinking about us, let's make good stuff up. So Becca's like, Kevin is like awesome. Yeah. Don's like thinking over there. I know he's right now, he's thinking, Kevin is the coolest cat in the whole room. And I'm like, yeah. So wouldn't it change how we live our lives if we walked around thinking that people are thinking positive things about us rather than thinking negative things about us all the time? It would give us more confidence in who we are, right, as a person. Because then we could approach somebody on the street and not be so afraid of what they're going to say or think, right? But our fear overtakes us and we're like, well, they're not going to listen to what I have to say. They don't care. Yeehaw. So think good things. Don't think about people in their underwear. That's stupid. I don't know who came up with that one, but that doesn't work. I tried it. Not here, by the way. Okay, amen. Righteousness. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Right? Jesus himself performed for us so we could have a position of righteousness. Jesus gave his life so that we could have righteousness. Righteousness is right standing before God. When you repent, which is stopping to what you're doing, turning the other direction, that's true repentance. When you don't stop what you're doing and don't do it anymore, you step into righteousness. He takes the coat and wraps us with the robe of righteousness. He covers us. He says, you're my son once again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for taking that for us. He became sin. He that knew no sin. So you could become the righteousness of God. Like a son or a daughter, we are his children. God is our Father. We are his children. No one else can tell us who we are. He gives us our identity. He identifies us. Right? We don't have to worry about what Jessica's thinking. What are you thinking anyways? She's like, nothing. I don't want to tell you. Yes, our identity is in Christ, in Christ alone. So both sons were living with unhealthy emotions. The Father is showing them that it is not about what they are doing or what they have done. It's about who you are. Yeah, that's not always something common that we see. We see a lot of people who are letting emotions run their lives. Like I said in the beginning, emotions are good. We got to take them with us. They're like kids, but we can't lock them up in the trunk, and we can't let them drive the car either, but they have to be with us. And emotions also are a way to connect to God in a powerful way. So these are not just all negative things. This is a positive thing too as well. Yes. So in Galatians, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit, right? It talks about the fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things, there is no law. Right? These are the things that will be evident in our life when we are healthy, because we will see the fruits of the Spirit will be evident in our life. And those are healthy emotions. Our emotions become healthy when we understand our identity. We can learn how to express our emotions in a healthy way instead of running away from them or pushing them down and making excuses for them. We only have 24 hours a day in our, you know, and so we need to stop wasting them on dumb stuff, right? I was at a vacation a couple of summers ago. We were up at Mayfield Lake camping, and I got a text message. I got a text message from my manager, and he's like, "We're having a meeting on Monday, and we need you to be there." And it's, I don't remember, it's something, but I thought it was something negative because it was like something to do with our, like, was our pay or something. I thought it was over, yeah, oh, our overtime or something like that. So I was like, "Oh no!" I was like stressing out. So like immediately, the camping trip was ruined because I could not stop thinking about that. It stressed me out. I was worrying about it. I was like stressing, thinking, and I just ruined that vacation for us because I was like just worried about it the whole time. I let it waste my vacation and it was over something stupid. We go to the meeting and I'm all nervous and like, "Oh man, what's gonna happen?" And they're like, "We're giving you a raise." I'm like, "Oh my gosh, you gotta be kidding me! I worried all weekend long and it was like a good thing." Oh. God is good. We don't have to worry about stupid, dumb stuff. But we do. We let it get to us, man. Like, I'm thinking about this weather, and I'm like, "Oh, no, I don't want to be driving in this nasty weather all week. I hate that." And it was been bugging me all day. And I've been just trying to get rid of it. Get rid of it. I don't want to think about it. Just get through today, right? But that stuff gets to us, man. David writes this. He says, here's one of the keys right here. He says, "The Lord is my strength, my shield. I trust with all my heart. He helps me. He fills my heart with joy. And I burst out in songs of thanksgiving." Joy and thanksgiving. Did you wake up this morning and say, "I'm so joyful. I can't wait to get to church"? Yeah. You did? Man, I woke up this morning. I was like, "Oh, my back hurts and my leg. I can't." I was like, "Where's my coffee?" And then I was like, "Now I'm joyful." Right? But it's hard, you know, it's hard. But the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? And if you watch the movie, it's cool because Joy is the one that tries to take control, and she's the one that's like, this is the center. She runs the show, man. Joy runs the show. Joy is important, and thankfulness. Mark Twain said this, "I have had a lot of worries in my life, most of which have never happened. But for the kingdom of God, it's not a matter of eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Woo! Is it coming together? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Shalom, joy, righteousness, sonship, yeah? In the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom. Not about what you do or don't do. Not about the things that you did last week. It's about just being a son, a daughter of the King. And you're in the kingdom. So why should we care about this stuff? Oh, why do we care if we have healthy emotions? Well, it'll make your marriage better, for one, because my wife will be a little happier if I can get my emotions under control. Right? Here it is. Because when we can be emotionally healthy personally, remember, we are part of a family. We are the family, right? And so if we can control our emotions, have healthy emotions personally, then it's going to help the entire family, right? When we saw in the video clip, the whole family plays the part, right? We are, and if we're healthy family, then revival will come. A healthy family is revival. Revival is a healthy family. And a healthy family has to have healthy emotions, because if we don't have healthy emotions, we're always going to be bickering, angry, jealous, upset, angry, all these things, right? So it's important not only for us personally, but important for the larger picture, the kingdom, the family of God. So it helps when we how we respond to people with either healthy emotions or negative emotions, right? So God wants our emotions to be healthy so we can love each other. The royal law, love your neighbor as yourself. If you can't love yourself, you can't love your neighbor, right? Amen. So to have a healthy love for God, a healthy love for ourselves, we're going to be able to love each other. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, right? The greatest commandment. What's in your soul? Your emotions. You love God with all your emotions, right? All your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yeehaw. Okay, let's wrap this thing up. Sorry, kids. You want to watch a movie? I know a good one. So we can also do things like practice spiritual disciplines. That'll help us along the way. Spiritual disciplines like solitude, silence, fasting, practicing the Sabbath, Bible reading, worship, prayer. These things are spiritual disciplines that we can have in our lives that are going to help us be emotionally healthy. And then I'm going to finish off here with this scripture here in Mark. No, Timothy. There it is. I already quoted Mark. Okay, so first of all, we understand our identity, right? Position. We're the king's sons and daughters. We live a life of joy and thankfulness, right? Right? We have spiritual disciplines in our life, reading our Bible, spending time with God, fasting, praying. We seek professional help when needed, right? And we become a part of the family, right? A healthy family. So it says here in 2 Timothy, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind." Do you believe it? There it is. We can do this. All it's right there in the Bible. He's given us a spirit of love, not fear, power, and a sound mind. So when that vortex is spinning and everything is crazy and chaotic, Jesus can step in and say, "Be still." And he can help us live an emotionally healthy life. Jesus, I just thank you for this day and for what you're doing in this body and in our city, Lord. And you're such a good God that I love you so much. And I thank you for the opportunity to get up here and share my heart and allow these people to love me the way that they do and allow me to be myself. And I pray that I would be able to love these people the way they love me, God. And I just bless them this morning. Let them walk out of this room knowing that you are bigger than anything that can come against them, that they have the power and the authority over anything that may come against them. Just pour out your spirit, Lord, in a deeper way that we would recognize your voice in every area of our lives, including our emotions. Just thank you, Lord. Bless them. In Jesus' name, no snow. And make Tom Brady lose the Super Bowl. Amen. Want Tom Brady retire. Go away.